You are listening to the Double A Club, and this is your host, NY Boom, and my co-host, Big Daz. We'll be talking about trending topics and healthcare. And basically, just as a disclaimer, just to let the listeners know that this is just basically on our opinions and speculations. And I hope you guys enjoy the show. Let's start off and kick off with our first topic.
Hey, what's up, listeners? This is NYC Boom. This is the Double A Club podcast. And joining us today is this man who is having the pleasure, who I am having the pleasure of having an interview with, Miguel Romeo. Now, Miguel,
yes, sir.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself? I know some things about you. I know you went to 143, junior high school 143. You also went to John F. Kennedy, I believe.
You're married. No, no. You know what it is? A lot of people think I went to Kennedy, but I actually went to 141.
Oh.
I went to 141. I used to hang out in the Promenade, Marble Hill, 225th Street, Adrian Avenue. And I went to DeWitt Clinton High School.
Oh, and, Clinton.
Yeah, I went to Clinton High School.
Oh, okay.
And I was there for a little while. Yeah, everybody thinks I went to Kennedy because everybody from 141, I was very close to. That was one of the best times of my life, being in 141. It gave me a chance to see a different part of the Bronx. You know, being raised in, you know, 183rd Street, you go to a school, 141 in Riverdale, and you're like, what is this? You know, you're eating on Johnson Avenue, and it's like, you know, you get to leave your school to go to lunch. You know, it was a different life over there. It inspired my whole entire outlook on life in general.
Yeah, I kind of missed the pizzas over there.
Yeah, right. So basically, you went to 141.
Yeah, I went to 141. I believe I was a year behind you. I know.
I feel like that's how I know you. I feel like I know you from 141. Yeah.
I believe you knew Odette, Jeanette, Donna.
Those are my people, Marble Hill. Yeah.
All those people. You knew
we know a lot of the same people.
Yeah, all of those people.
A lot of the LaShawn same people, Perry.
Yes, LaShawn.
Robert Brooks.
Yeah, man. Crawford.
Look at that.
Those are all
my people, yeah.
Yeah. So you're married, and you've been married for 10 years, or you've known her for 10 years?
Well, my wife and I have been together 10 years. Yeah. We are soon to get married. We just got engaged. She's my domestic partner. I have her down as my domestic partner for the last 5 years or whatever. We have two beautiful sons. We have a newborn and a two-year-old. Yeah.
I did see your newborn on Facebook. Beautiful.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. God bless you.
So, you know, just very happy. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So, what made you pop the question after all this time with her? Was it something that came to your eyes that you were like, yo, I got to propose to her now?
Yeah, I felt like, you know, it was the time. For me, you know, like growing up, I never really was the married type of guy. Like when you're 21 years old, you're young, you're traveling, 21, 25, 27. As you start to climb, and you start to climb with somebody, and then you guys have the same interests. You know, we met, you know, through a mutual friend doing music. You know, she was into boxing, and I like boxing, and it was just like, wow, you like music? Oh, I like rapping. Oh, you like singing? Oh, my God. And then next thing you know, we've been together 10 years.
Nice, that's cool.
It's a nice story.
Yeah, I'm newly married myself. I've been married for a year.
Cool, congrats.
Yeah, thank you. And the thing that made me realize that I had to propose to this woman was the fact that she was different from a lot of the people that I've met down here in Florida. So, I was like, She has the same type of outlook that I have, and she's not bringing chaos to my life. She's bringing peace.
That's beautiful.
I was like, I gotta marry her. She's gotta be involved in my life. She's gotta be there. She's gonna be my right hand man, my road dog. That's the person.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's what we look for. We look for a partner that's gonna be stable with us, and that's pretty much gonna, you know, take this walk with us. It's a long walk, you know?
Yeah.
So we got to make sure we're walking with the right person.
Yeah, it's a very long walk, especially for us men.
But yeah,
so you do real estate too, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing right now. I come from a hospital background and stuff like that, and all kind of different jobs I've done and stuff like that. And right now I'm delving into, like, once I had, you know, once she had her first baby, our first baby, I want to delve into something totally different and something that I have a passion for. So I started doing real estate and stuff like that. So, and definitely not easy. Not easy. I will tell you that. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, listen, I'm rich.
A lot of people have that misconception like that real estate is easy and then you make a lot of money and everything in it. And all that can be true. But there's also another side to real estate. And I know from friends, real estate is a very tough business. You're traveling a lot. You're not making big sales, you know, and sometimes a lot of these sales, they take a very long time and you're exhausting a lot of your resources. And in the end, it really doesn't even pay off the money that you get because of all the money that you spent.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, you got people that are doing real estate in Beverly Hills, but then you got people that are doing real estate in certain areas where they are not prospering. As somebody would in Miami or New York City. But in general, when the housing market is not, you know, plush and it's like not a great time to sell houses because people are not buying houses per se, it can be very challenging. But when you start to flow and you get your book of business up and you start to network and, you know more people and start, you know, shaking hands with different type of people, little by little, the work that you put in will pay off. So that's pretty much the manuscript right there. But, so, you know, like I said, I'm new. I'm new to this.
Yeah. How new are you?
Well, I'm pretty much 2023. Wow, 2023.
Like a year.
Yeah, I'm very new. Yeah.
How many houses have you sold so far?
I've sold two houses.
That's good.
So I'll tell you this. It's decent because I got a lot of mortgage brokers telling me, hey, you sold two houses at a time when nobody's really selling houses. And, you know, it makes you feel good when somebody's telling you that they have 10 years doing what they're doing. But, you know, like you said, and like we were just discussing, even before, I thought it was going to be a little different. But you start to look at the YouTube videos and you start to see people and you start to learn that, you know, you get what you put in, man. You got to put in more than you think you got to put in.
Yeah.
But I'm in it for the long haul. And well,
that's the type of business that you have to put in literally 100%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you want to make anything out of it, you have to put 100%.
Yeah.
Especially to sell houses in this market with 7% APR. That's good. That's really good. Like, I don't even want to sell my house and buy a new one because the APR is too high.
Exactly, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get you. Yeah. And then the houses up there in New York are super expensive. And, you know, people like that are not making money like that, you know?
Yeah. And then you have to have like a side hustle and stuff like that. Yeah. Like me, I dip and dab with a little bit of social media content creation. And then I'm also like, that's something that you know, you got to have a lot of viral videos, though, you know, for you to make some money.
I have noticed your videos. So, yeah, I can tell. That's one thing that I suffer from. I have no clue how to go about it or do any of that stuff. I'm still trying to put up YouTube videos of the podcast, and that's been kind of challenging in a way. So,
it's difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah,
I've learned a lot, and I'm still learning, and it's still difficult for me. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, with social media, there's a lot of things to tap into. That's one of the routes that I've been trying to delve into. And then I'm also doing some solar, like a lot of people now are getting solar panels and stuff like that. And it's looking like the electric bills, the electric companies are raising their prices everywhere. So it's kind of making it easier for people to get into solar. So that's another thing that I do on the side. So, like, you know, these are, like, things that you do on the side to get, like, multiple income.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And those streams of income and stuff like that. Just to see what happens.
That's good. So here's a question, right? What would you, for anybody listening that's interested in doing real estate, right? What are five tips that you would give for them to start off real estate? And what are five other tips that you would give for dealing with real estate?
Well, let's go one at a time. We're going to start with five tips that I would give to do real estate. First, you got to know if it's something that you want to do. An introvert person might not want to do real estate. You have to be an extrovert because you're going to be dealing with the public, dealing with people, dealing with rejection, knocking on house doors, knocking on, you know, like on different, like going to different businesses, because there's all kind of real estate. It's not just houses, you know, there's also rentals. There's also businesses, gas stations, you know, could, you know, be selling a gas station or whatever. You got to first know your personality and see what works with you. I recommend looking at some of the YouTube videos on the actual information of real estate, which is one of the tools that I use to get my license. I didn't just depend on the actual class. I also did my own research on YouTube University, which is, I know it sounds funny, but you can pretty much learn anything. You can learn how to build an engine on YouTube. That's my second. My third is to figure out a niche, like figure out how you can promote yourself, whether it be social. Everything is social media though nowadays, because that's the new way of doing it. It's not really cold calling no more where you're making phone calls all day. A lot of it is social media. So I would definitely recommend a person to get their social media up. That's three. Four, I would recommend having a second language. Me, I'm bilingual, so I speak English. Sometimes people don't think I know how to speak Spanish if they speak it to me over the phone and don't see my face. Where they're like, wait a minute. Oh, shoot, your name is Miguel Romeo. Yeah, you have to speak Spanish. You get it? Like, if they don't know my name, they just hear me. So I definitely recommend, you know, having a second language. So if you speak Mandarin, it'll be great because then you'll be in that community right there with Mandarin. But obviously a lot of people know Spanish is like 75% of the world speaks Spanish. I might be wrong on the actual numbers, but speaking Spanish is really, really something that even if you're not Latino, you should probably want to pick up. And just pretty much having a certain drive of how you're going to be, you know, motivating people and how you're going to be helping people, because it's not just about selling homes. Like me, I kind of like to give people a lot of different information, not just about real estate. Like I my clients have been helped with finances. So if you have another background, it also helps too. Like if you just know real estate, hey, that could help you. But if you know a lot about cars, you know a lot about electronics, you know, I'm helping my clients buy refrigerators, you know, and they're looking at it like, wow, you know, you're a real estate agent, but yet you're helping me pick my couch. You know, you're helping me pick so many different things, but that in turn is going to get you more clients because right now it's all about referrals. Right now you might know somebody that wants to buy a house and you'd be like, oh, wow, I did an interview with Miguel Romeo about diabetes and we started talking about real estate. He's a guy that I think that you could trust. Because it's also about trust. People have to trust you. If you're just moving in a snakish way and you're slithering around, you know, like, and you don't seem like a person that's a loyal person or a good person, nobody's really going to want to sit there with you and sign contracts with you or buy a home with you. Life. You got to be a people person.
Yeah.
Now, that was five. That was five. I expounded a little bit, but, you know, this is what it is.
Yeah.
There was another... There was another five that I kind of stopped you and said, let me do these five first.
Five things five tips you would give for people on how to deal with it. Not to get into it, but how to deal with it when you're in it. When you're not successful, you are successful.
God,
you're doing well, you're not doing well. You know, in real estate, it's like a stock market. You're going to have your ups, and you're definitely going to have your downs. So Yes. And like, you know, a lot of people, like, for example, like people from the from lower communities, right? When they get the income tax, they get that money, they blow it right away. You know what I'm saying? You know, what 5 tips would you give to a new person in entering real estate on how to deal with managing his business, his name, and the business itself on the downs and the ups?
I'll tell you, I'll start with this. They say scared money don't make no money. And I don't want to throw too many negatives at you, meaning like don't make no money, but you get, you know, that's just the way that they say it. So you got to be willing to invest in yourself. You have to be ready to invest in your education, because I just had to, you know, do a, I'm not finished, but I'm halfway done. Every 2 years, you got to do continuing education. A lot of people be, oh, I didn't know you had to do that. Well, in order to maintain a license, you need continuing education. So you definitely want to invest your money, be able to invest your money in yourself, be able to put some money aside so that way you have money for a rainy day. Mm-hmm. You have to be patient. You can't, you know, go into something assuming that you're going to just start making money immediately. And you just got to kind of know if this is something that you really, really want to do. You got to stick with it through the hard times and through the good times. And just pretty much you develop a catalog of people, write people's names down. You can't call people to the point where you're calling them too much, because you don't want to bother people, but you got to stay in contact with them. And you know, sometimes if it's not a text message, maybe it's an email. If it's not an email, maybe it's like me and you, like we speak to each other on Facebook Messenger. And I can see you and I, you know, we're probably going to do other things, you know, as far as other projects together. Or might help me with something. I might help you with something else. And contacts are definitely meaningful. And sometimes people, I want to say, will look at a contact and say, ah, this guy's not this. And then they'll go for another person. And the other person might be the worst person in the whole world. Mm-hmm. So you have to definitely be humble. So if you making a certain amount of money and you start to improve, never forget where you come from. And that's one thing my dad tells me. My dad tells me, he says, hey, listen, you know, one thing I noticed about you, you never, ever forget where you came from, where we raised you. I was a latchkey kid. You know what I mean? I was going to get the school lunch with the chocolate milk and butter crunch cookies. Well, you know, I've been through that. Mom was on welfare, and then she ended up improving her life. And then moved us out of the HOOD. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I'm very proud to say that I'm a product of my environment. I'm from 183rd Street. I'm proud of that, but I'm also happy that I went to 141. You get it? So
yeah.
I didn't go to 137, which was a school. It was a school that was very, very dangerous. And of course, yeah, you know, I probably would have made it through, you know, like, but if you know that there's going to be problems in a certain area and you go there on purpose and you don't do anything to try to change the outcome, then you're not really trying to help yourself. I did everything I had to do to not go to that school. And then in going to 141, it made me meet a lot of great people. So I'm very, very happy that I did that. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much the advice that I have, is just stay focused, stay poised, be able to invest your money. Don't spend frivolously on silly things just because you ended up getting a few dollars here or a few dollars there. Put money away for a rainy day and always have other income streams. If you can, you know, put a little bit of money in stock market, you could put a little bit of money over here, or you could put a little bit of money over there, depending on the scenario. Everybody has different scenarios, but a lot of times people are taking $200 and buying sneakers.
Yeah.
And people are taking it. Hey, we've all been there. Every now and then I get me a pair of sneakers. You know, don't get those. I like to get them when they're on sale. So my thing is, if you're going to spend on something, try your best to get whatever you're going to get for a better price so that way you have more money to invest in yourself, which is going to also help you for your future.
Yeah.
Like the class, the real estate class I took was a $400 class.
Mm.
You know what? I got it on Groupon. I got it on Groupon, bro. $100.
Good. They're not. Those classes are not cheap. Yeah. Those classes are not cheap. Any certification classes are not cheap, and you have to take several of them. It's not like you can only take one class.
You know? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was gonna go. I went to Lehman College, right? First, I went to Mercy College. Then I got my 2-year degree. Then I went to Lehman College, right? So Lehman College, I had financial aid. I had everything going for me. Mercy College, I didn't have financial aid. I had to take out loans. Then when I got 1199, I ended up going to Pace University, pretty much 100% tuition reimbursement to get my master's, right? Mm-hmm. Those courses that I was going to take in Fordham University, man, I think it was $1,500 per credit. I think at the time it was $998. It was $900 per credit. Mm-hmm. So back to the real estate thing, what I want to say is I am not going to say anything bad about college because I did it, and I'm so happy that I did it. But a $400 class, right, I got it for $100.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that $100 is going to get me, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's doable, and it's probably the most affordable career that you could ever, you know, endeavor in. So, you know, as far as investing in yourself, that's what I got to say.
Gotcha.
Thank you for listening to the Double A Club. Listen to us next episode to continue this topic. If you want to reach us on the email, it's doubleaclubpodcast@gmail.com. Catch you on the next one.